Welcome back, everyone. 1 o'clock. Hope you had a delicious lunch. We are now on to Groundfish Committee Report. Obviously, we're going to be talking about recreational measures. I will kick it over to Mr. Pappalardo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a quick update. The Groundfish Plan Development Team met on January 8th, and then the Groundfish Recreational Advisory Panel and the Groundfish Committee both met a half day each on January 20th to discuss and recommend Western Gulf of Maine cod and Gulf of Maine haddock recreational measures for fishing year 2026. As you mentioned before the lunch break, these recommendations came before we had the benefit of updated wave 5 catch information. And so after we take the presentation from Robin, I will make the committee motion, and I would expect a healthy discussion after that about what measures the council wants to suggest. So unless there's questions, Mr. Chairman, we'll turn to Robin for the report.
Ms. Fried.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon. So Robin Friede, the Council Staff Groundfish Plan Coordinator. And I also want to thank Mark Grant, fellow Council Staff member on our Groundfish team, as well as a lot of hard work and support from our Northeast Fishery Science Center Social Sciences Branch team, Min-Yang Lee, Lou Carr-Harris, and Kimberly Bastille. And so as our chair mentioned, we'll be discussing the primary focus for a Groundfish Committee report today is the development of recreational fishing measures for Western Gulf of Maine cod and Gulf of Maine haddock, making those recommendations to the regional office. And so I shared this update with our recreational advisors and Groundfish Committee just to provide some context on as far as the stock units, the transition of the cod stock units and how that relates to what stock units the recreational measures are being developed for. So you may recall last year the council developed recreational measures for Western Gulf of Maine cod that intended implementation of the new stock units to be May 1 in 2025, and that did not occur. We've had a delay in that implementation with the disapproval of Amendment 25 and all of the subsequent reinitiation and revised action that the council has taken. We are now looking still to target implementation of Amendment 25 and the implementation of the new cod stock units on May 1, 2026. And so the council is developing measures for recreational measures for the Western Gulf of Maine cod stock, and the emergency measures that are under place that are in place for this current fishing year 2025, those are under the two cod stock model, the Gulf of Maine stock. And so just a bit of context or clarity when you'll see some references to Gulf of Maine cod or to Western Gulf of Maine cod. And so with our current measures, those being the measures that were developed under the emergency rule, again applying to Gulf of Maine cod, and so that is what you'll see, what the recreational advisors and the Groundfish Committee discussed, and how this was described in the decision support tool used to develop the measures is the status quo actual, since these are the measures that remained in place. So for Gulf of Maine cod, the open season of September 1st through October 31st, a 23-inch minimum fish size and a possession limit of one fish per day. Gulf of Maine haddock, open season all of the year except for the month of March. Minimum fish size of 18 inches and possession limit of 15 fish per day. What the council had proposed last year for fishing year 2025 and what will be referred to as the status quo proposed measures includes the additional open season for Gulf of Maine cod of May 1 through May 31st, and then for Gulf of Maine haddock lowers the minimum fish size to 17 inches. And so these measures have not yet been implemented. They are included as part of the Framework 69 proposed rule, which you heard an update on earlier today, implementation of that still pending. And again, Amendment 23 would be including the recommendations and would be applying to the Western Gulf of Maine cod stock, also implementation pending, but targeting May 1, 2026. For current and what is proposed for catch limits, or current fishing year 2025, recreational sub-ACLs for Gulf of Maine haddock, 1,075 metric tons. This is what would be proposed, or what is proposed, what would be implemented under Framework 69. So currently under the note at the bottom shares that the emergency action has the Gulf of Maine haddock recreational sub-ACL at 729 metric tons. What would be proposed for Gulf of Maine haddock for fishing year 2026 is 1,146 metric tons, so a 7% increase over what was proposed in 2025, and would be quite a bit larger than what is currently implemented under the emergency measures. What was proposed for Western Gulf of Maine cod for 2025 was 99 metric tons for fishing year 2025, and again under the emergency measures, the actual sub-ACL was implemented for Gulf of Maine cod, and that is 120 metric tons. The emergency action took the values that were developed under the four stock model and converting it back into the Gulf of Maine and Georges Bank cod stocks. And then what's proposed for fishing year 2026 sub-ACL for Western Gulf of Maine cod is 118 metric tons, so a 19% increase between those years, and roughly fairly similar to the current measures that are under the sub-ACL is on their emergency actions for Gulf of Maine cod. So just a refresher on the accountability measures for the recreational fishery. The proactive measures are with this process that we're going through with the council, where the recreational measures are adjusted by the regional administrator. The goal of ensuring the recreational fishery is achieving but not exceeding its sub-ACL for the coming year, typically making these changes before the start of the fishing year. And this is a consultation process between the regional administrator and the council, and when at all possible, including the Groundfish Committee and the Recreational Advisory Panel, to discuss the potential proposed measures. And the kind of need for the coordination with the council is given the suite of potential measures and changes to the bag limits, the minimum fish size and season, are depending on the sub-ACL that would be specified through any council actions. There are also reactive accountability measures. And so in the case during the year-end accounting, if the catches exceed the sub-ACL and NIMS determines the measures that would be needed to prevent the sub-ACL from being exceeded in future years, and also goes through a consultation process with the council, a goal of implementing these measures or publishing them no later than January. And in this process, the use of the three-year average for the recreational harvest that's compared against the three-year average of the recreational sub-ACL to then implement accountability measures in the year immediately following. Those recreational AMs, these reactive AMs, can include adjustments to those same measures, the seasons, the minimum fish size, and bag limit. And separate AMs can be determined for the private boat, the private mode, and the party charter, the four higher components. And that is also the case of the proactive measures, where the council could develop different measures between the private angler and the four higher fleets. Oops, wrong mess. And so new to our process last year, the Science Center Social Sciences Branch developed a cloud-based online decision support tool, which is a process used to automate the
Sorry, we're just having a swap out, a sub coming in. Tag team operation.
Okay. Hi, everyone. This is Mark Grant, and I am the substitute hitter today. All right, so let's pick back up with the recreational decision support tool. So back last year, the team at the Science Center developed an online way to operate and run the recreational demand model. And basically, this allowed an automation of the model process. So instead of requiring the staff at the SSB to run every option themselves, participants in the RAP and the committee could run their own models themselves. And then this year, they improved that by not only upping the speed, but setting it so that you could put in models to run and then log off while the model runs continued. So just a quick overview of the recreational demand model. Basically, there's a biological component that takes updated information from the stock assessment. There's an economic submodel that takes additional inputs and simulates angler trips for the next year, in this case for fishing year 2026. And together it allows us to model what different combinations of season, bag limit, and minimum size for cod and haddock will result in. Okay. Did that jump two or one? Okay. We're good. Thank you. So in terms of trip simulation, basically using historical data, we're simulating projected trips for the coming year. And in particular, we're using 2026 projected stock information, including the length structure, as well as the proposed regulations, which are the things that can be changed in the model. And then each model combination or each set of measures in the model is run 100 times to reflect uncertainty and to come up with a projected likelihood that the measures would in fact stay under the sub-ACLs for the two stocks. So input information that's underlying that are catch per trip and trips that were directed for cod and haddock. That all comes from the MRIP program that Dr. Papacosta spoke about earlier today. Trip costs actually come from a 2022 expenditure survey, and then catch at length is adjusted by 2026 projected numbers at age. That comes from a combination of MRIP data and also from the most recent stock assessments. And then angler demographics are input, including survey parameters from the angler survey. And then the model basically produces a distribution of those results, and that's why it's run 100 times for each set. Yeah, it's there we go. All right, so looking back at recent years, we can look at how well the model predicted Gulf of Maine cod catch versus what MRIP determined after the fact. And you'll see that it's improved generally over time. There are some places that stand out. 2015, you'll see that the MRIP catch was below the model estimate. That was the first year that we closed cod for recreational possession. And so one of the things that was going on there was the model was trying to model behavior it had not previously seen. And so there are some places in here where you can look at the differences and look back at what the situation that resulted in that was. But generally, you can see how the model has gotten better at predicting catch. There are some other places you can see in 2021 missing data that's related to the COVID. Is it this one that's running? Oh, there it goes. All right. Okay. Similarly, the model also predicts Gulf of Maine haddock. You can see in general there's a lot more haddock catch going on in the recreational fishery, and you get a little more variability there. All right, and so this is a reminder that Amendment 25 revised is looking at changing the cod stock structure in the Northeast Multi-Species Fishery Management Plan. And so if you can see the dashed black line, that's the different areas under the current system, with the north being the Gulf of Maine cod stock area and the southern area, and to the west being the Georges Bank cod stock area. But the colored areas reflect the proposed cod stock structures from Amendment 25. In purple, you have an eastern Gulf of Maine stock. There's a new larger western Gulf of Maine cod stock area in blue. To the east in green is the new smaller Georges Bank cod stock area. And to the southwest in yellow is the new southern New England cod stock area. All right. Sorry, we're just changing our tech here to run the slides. So, model predictions for the coming year, 2026, under status quo. You'll see again, as Robin mentioned, we have two status quos in this case. Status quo actual reflects the measures that were implemented for the current fishing year through an emergency action by the National Marine Fisheries Service. And status quo proposed are the measures that were recommended by the council for the current year that are in Framework Adjustment 69. And so the big change there was the addition of a May open season for cod, and also a reduction in the minimum size for haddock in the proposed regulations versus those that are currently in effect. All right, so information from the stock assessment, looking at estimates for 2025 and projections for 2026 of the numbers of fish at different lengths. And basically, this is just giving you a snapshot of looking at the total population of cod and of haddock. What are the size ranges and which of those sizes have the largest proportion of the population? So on the left, you've got cod proportions. You're actually seeing the most common sizes to be larger in the 30-inch to 44-inch range. And in haddock on the right, even larger have the highest proportion of fish in the 40-inch to 54-inch range, which are nice, healthy fish. All right, so these caveats get back to information that folks were dealing with at the RAP meeting and the committee meeting. At the time, we did not have 2025 Wave 5 MRIP data, so we were using 2024 MRIP data as a proxy. The other thing, which gets a little bit back to those model predictions we talked about earlier, was in modeling an open season in May for cod, the model is limited in that it's looking at last year's data. It was closed in May last year, and so there's a limitation in its ability to predict what cod mortality would result from a cod opening in May for the coming year. So here's the sort of standardized calendar of intended data availability coming from the Marine Recreational Information Program, MRIP. And then this year, you'll see it was actually shifted, and this was a result of the government shutdown during October and November of this year. So May cod opening, this was a big point of discussion for the RAP and for the committee this year. As I mentioned earlier, there are some uncertainties around this, including using the model and its projections. It's tied to last year's effort and catch, and May was closed to cod. And then as a result, it underestimates the effort and catch of opening in May in 2026 because it's looking at what that was in May of 2025. So, to try to put bounds around this, staff at the Science Center in the Social Sciences branch did a diagnostic analysis and tried to look at a broader range of historical data from MRIP to sort of estimate, in general, when you increase the cod bag limit, what does that do to cod mortality overall? And so the key takeaway here is that adding a one fish possession limit for cod in May, going away from zero, you're looking at basically an additional 17,000 cod being harvested, and that's about 42 metric tons of total mortality. The model as it ran only was estimating about 2 metric tons of cod mortality for that open season. So when you look at this diagnostic analysis, it suggests that you would have to adjust the model's projected cod mortality by an additional 40 metric tons when we're looking at historic information. All right, so going back to the online decision support tool, this is what the screen looks like for folks putting in a set of measures that they'd like to model. So on the left, you've got cod, on the right, you've got haddock. For each, you can specify the season, and you could have different seasons for the for-hire fleet versus the private fleet. You can set the bag limit separately for each of those modes. You can have more than one season, excuse me, and you can also adjust the minimum length for each species. Once the model runs, which takes a few minutes, you basically get an output screen, and this is showing this year's model runs. And you'll see there's a lot of black grouped together, and that's basically the model saying that the different sets of measures were predicted to be rather clustered in terms of their outcome of mortality for cod and haddock. So, going on to the Recreational Advisory Panel's meeting the morning of January 20th, their recommendation to the committee was for Gulf of Maine haddock on the right. It was a consensus statement to keep what they had previously recommended for the current fishing year. And that's basically haddock is open the entire year except for the month of March. The minimum size is 17 inches, which is an inch lower than the current minimum size of 18, and the possession limit would be 15 fish per day. On the left were the recommendations for Western Gulf of Maine cod, and this added an open season for the month of May in addition to the existing open season of September and October, maintained the current minimum size of 23 inches, and the possession limit of one fish. And to note that the RAP in their motion really wanted at least one cod in May, but were certainly open to having more in their motion. So, in their discussions and in their motion, the advisory panel provided a rationale for what they were looking at and what they ultimately voted to recommend. And for the May cod opening, it was around the model runs, including adding the additional cod mortality that came from a sensitivity run, demonstrating that cod mortality for the option would be below the recreational sub-ACL, highlighting that, particularly for the charter party industry, the main demand for cod is in May and June from customers, especially in the southern portion of the Gulf of Maine, compared to fall when there's business competition for other recreational species that are available in the area. They also discussed that anglers generally wouldn't be targeting cod, but those that they caught as bycatch while targeting haddock would be converted from discards into harvest. There was also discussion that this balances access to cod in the Gulf of Maine for fisheries in the north and south, which have generally a different season related to weather. And they highlighted that this was looking at risk tolerance. There are spawning closures in place. There are haddock targeting maps for reducing bycatch that have been well received by anglers. And there are accountability measures to address any potential overage. Discussion did have some points against, even though this was the will overall of the RAP, noting that the model doesn't capture the impacts of catching spawning cod versus generally catching cod. There is a concern that anglers would target large cod just outside of the spawning aggregations. And there was a significant subportion of the RAP, not those that voted for, would rather see the open season pushed out later past the spawning season. And there was a concern that a May opening could lead to an overage, and that could restrict haddock fishing in the future as part of reactive AMs. Later on the same day, the Groundfish Committee met and they discussed the recommendations from the RAP and the information presented. And they basically unanimously passed two motions, one for cod and one for haddock, which reflected those recommendations of the RAP. So again, for Western Gulf of Maine cod, an open season for the month of May, a second open season for September and October, minimum size of 23 inches, and a possession limit of one fish per day. For Gulf of Maine haddock, open the entire year except for the month of March, a minimum size of 17 inches, and a possession limit of 15 fish per day. So, unfortunately, Wave 5 data for 2025 became available the day after the RAP and the committee met. And this is a table comparing Wave 5 in 2024 and Wave 5 in 2025 to give you an idea of how much that data update affected what the model would later run for options. In particular, cod catch was almost four times higher in 2025 than in 2024. Angler trips were nearly double. Haddock catch actually decreased by nearly half. And so what does that mean? It means that if we took the results that the model had run when it was using the 2024 data for Wave 5, we would have to increase the estimated cod mortality by 3.65 times. We could cut the predicted haddock mortality by 55%. And overall, we'd be looking at twice as many angler trips, And the note on the bottom, because the model ran with the 2024 data, reruns of it using the updated information from 2025, while not available in the model itself, are available on the decision support tool model summary page as an additional line of information. So now we come back to the action that's required. Having looked at that new 2025 data for wave 5, how much that increases cod catch based not only on the number of trips, but the encounter rate of cod, the measures that were recommended by the RAP and that the Groundfish Committee voted to recommend to the council would not keep the mortality for cod underneath the sub-ACL on at least 50% of the runs. So the task for the council is to develop a different set of measures to be recommended to the Greater Atlantic Regional Fisheries Office. And so the proposed measures you'll see here in the circle, only 27% of the model runs with that set of measures kept the catch below the sub-ACL, and that doesn't meet the standard of at least 50%. So working with the Groundfish Committee Chair, council staff developed a memorandum to bring forward some options of possible measures for the council to discuss today. All of the options, or both of the options, I should say, that we've brought forward meet the criteria of at least 50% of model runs remaining below both the cod and the haddock sub-ACLs. And given the substantially higher cod mortality, significant reductions in the cod measures are necessary. And that includes reducing the cod open season and likely removing the May cod opening. All right, so here are the two possible options that we've brought forward to start the discussion. The first option, actually, you'll see from the policy identifier, this was one of the RAP members' model runs that was previously considered. This would allow for the current September and October cod open season, but only for the for-hire fleet, and it would be closed for private anglers and would still have the 23-inch minimum size for cod and would maintain the haddock season open year-round except for March with a 15-fish bag limit and a 17-inch minimum size. By contrast, the second option that was run that worked allows for both the for-hire fleet and the private anglers to target cod, but only for the month of October with a single cod bag limit, 23-inch minimum size, and again, the same haddock season open year-round except for March with a 15-fish limit and a 17-inch minimum size. These are the model runs using the new Wave 5 data for these two options. So the first one, in which only the for-hire fleet has access to cod in the fall, you'll see that 61% of those model runs stayed below the sub-ACL, so that meets the standard of at least 50%. And for option two, where cod is open only for 1 month for both private anglers and the for-hire fleet, stayed under the sub-ACL on 55%, which again meets the standard of 50%. So here's your meeting goal: to develop recommendations to GARFO on recreational fishing measures for 2026 for Western Gulf of Maine cod and for Gulf of Maine haddock.
Thank you, Mr. Grant. Thank you for pinch hitting. It looks like our starting pitcher is coming back in here, Ms. Reed. So I will open up the presentation to any questions on what you've, any questions to the presentation that's been put before you. Ms. Griffin.
Yeah, so I'd just like to go back to my question that was stemming from the previous presentation we had on the FES. And if you go to the slide that shows, you know, the 61 and the 55% for the two currently proposed measures, suites of measures. Yeah. So we see option one staying 61%, option two, 55%. Not a big difference there. And then when I'm thinking about what we just learned with the FES, I'll just go back to my question with to GARFO. you know, I understand that we're not going to have the calibrated model giving us the revised estimates, but how might GARFO take those final FES study findings into account during their rulemaking process? You know, we're offering a recommendation. Would they be considering those study findings and what they mean for the overestimate of private effort, especially in the shoulder season? So I'll ask Mike if he has any response to that.
Mr. Pentney?
Yeah. Excuse me. Thanks for the question. You know, I understand the question. I think the challenge is that we don't have the results yet. So we have, you know, what we have from the presentation this morning is we have some sense of where things might go in the recalibrated data. But, you know, if you noticed on the slides that, you know, were shown this morning, there's differences by wave in terms of how much of an impact the revised FES question order has. There's also differences by state. And what wasn't shown is there's differences by state by wave. And so I think when they do the recalibration, as I understand it, they're going to be looking at all of those differences parsed down to the state level and the wave level, you know, state by or wave by state. And the outcome of that for, you know, COD, haddock could be not as substantial as it is for other species. And until we see those results, I think it's kind of premature to be thinking that we can take more risk in, you know, the measures that we set for cod or less risk. You know, we also have the challenge, unlike some of our other species, like our Mid-Atlantic species that the commission works on with the Mid-Atlantic Council, where, you know, we're looking at stocks that are multiples of BMSY, where maybe we can be a little bit more risk prone in making decisions. I think, you know, Western Gulf of Maine cod is in, based on the assessment results, is in really, really, really bad shape. And so I think it'd be challenging for us to be looking at these measures under a more risk prone approach, given the uncertainties about what the recalibration will end up showing us for catch, and given the status of the resource.
Thank you for that, Mr. Pentney. Mr. Pierdnock.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A few questions. I'll start with haddock first. You know, initially before the wave, this latest wave came in, there was some model runs with the design support tool that could have resulted in increasing the haddock bag limit to 25, and it still was 100% of the time below the sub ACL, which was very promising until this data came in. Is there still, without seeing the actual runs, is there still a possibility to increase the haddock bag limit, or are we back to as we catch haddock, we're catching cod, even though we avoid cod to catch haddock, and that's just enough because we're really splitting the hairs here that we cannot increase the bag limit for haddock? That's my first question.
Ms. Fried?
Thank you, Mr. Pierdnock, for the question. Also, thank you, Mark, for jumping in. I'm recovering from a cold and losing my voice a little bit. So I think what you're referring to is when some of the model runs were made by advisors and committee members for higher bag limits, I think mostly around a 20 fish bag limit for haddock. There wasn't, where you kind of saw that cluster of the runs really all showing a very similar mortality. And a couple things going on there. It's probably a combination where the trip data that's going in to the model for our most recent wave, full wave, or six waves, a full year available, is not predicting a lot of trips encountering higher levels, you know, higher limits of haddock. So that's not really increasing the removals. And so then doesn't have as much of an effect on cod as well. The question would be, have we updated those, looking at those runs now with the updated MRIP data? And we do have that available. It just might take me a minute to parse out which of the runs were made that have the 20 fish bag limit. We can provide that in a second. But just to the point has previously remained where the model is suggesting that there aren't likely to be a lot of encountering of trips with those higher amounts of haddock being caught. So it's not changing the predicted mortality, again, both from the trip data going in and also could be related to the size class information from the stock assessment and what's projected for the size of fish that anglers should be encountering.
I have an additional question if you're ready.
Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. On the memo, it notes on page 3 in the bottom, the PSEs for the private mode and the four higher mode, adding in the waves. I'm a bit confused, and this you know, is a result of this coming at us at the last minute to try to review this data and information, and haven't been able to dig into enough. But when I go into the NOAA MRIP database, specifically for cod by mode, by state, there's a lot of reds where the PSCs exceeded 50%. So were those removed in order to come up with the numbers with option one or option two, or are they still there? If they're still there, then I'm more confused than ever. So hopefully I can get some clarity.
Mr. Grant.
Mike, I looked at all states in conglomerate. So using that larger sample size, you get a different PSC than if you're looking state by state. And that's why you're seeing that difference.
Now, just last thing that I think I'd recommend that state by state by mode be looked into further. But this is where one doesn't have the time to do it. We don't, because we have to make a decision today, but it provides insight into what's driving this mortality. And, you know, I just scratch my head when people aren't leaving the dock or booking a trip for one cod. They're going after haddock, and they avoid cod while they fish for haddock. Yet, when you look at the numbers, half of the haddock, or half of the trips are haddock trips, but the cods triple the haddock, which is just inconsistent. So I just point that out. So today we have to come to a decision, but I hope there's more of these items looked at further to come possibly to a different decision. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Pierdnuck. And as you highlighted, we're here to make the recommendation today. So I think really there's only the two options in front of us. I don't think we have the time to run new ideas through the process or look at the data in more in depth. So unfortunately, how this played out, we're kind of stuck where we are. And, you know, I think we can think about changes and ways to look at the data, but that wouldn't be until next year's process. But thank you for that, Mr. Pierdnuck. Any further questions for council staff on the presentation? Ms. O'Dell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I'm just still trying to wrap my mind around before we jump into motions on what to do with this updated data that we have received. I'm just trying to wrap my mind around how different 2024 was from the recent data that we got from 2025. And it's a substantially different. And, you know, during our groundfish committee meeting and, you know, the model runs that we were looking at and the decision support tool looked like 2024 seemed like an appropriate proxy to use. And now it's like not even close to the appropriate proxy to use. And I'm concerned about that. I guess I don't really understand, nor have we discussed really what the performance of the fishery was. I see that there was a number of increased trips that occurred, but you know, a substantial amount of increased trips that resulted in a lot of increased discards on cod. You know, I guess I just, you know, for future management, and I know we're going to be having to discuss what to do now in light of this new information for 2026 and what to recommend to the regional administrator. But it's really important for us to understand, you know, how the fishery is performing. And, you know, what cod are they catching? Is it cod? Did the decrease go up substantially? Are assumptions that are being used?
Jackie, could you just get to your question?
Yeah, I would like to know if anyone can provide any information on what was the performance of the fishery, what was the substantial difference from 2024 to 2025, and if we're seeing such a large increase in cod catch, what is that from? Is that from a higher abundance than we're anticipating? Is that from an estimate on increase in discards? Yes, thank you. So this is, I don't know if this is slide 28, I think it might be. I just would like to know why there's such a big difference between 2024 and 2025.
Thank you for that. And before I kick it over to Robin, I do have to say I remember sitting in committee last year when we were talking about 2025 measures and looking at 2024. And I do believe part of the discussion was we felt that 2024 was kind of an anomalous outside the box type measures with lower numbers than expected. But I'll kick it over to Robin if she has more.
Thank you. Yes, that's exactly. If you recall the discussion last year, the cod catch for 2024 was substantially lower than the previous year. And there was a lot of discussion around, is that likely to be an anomaly? Unfortunately, and just state up front, this is an unfortunate situation. Normally, when we move forward, when we develop measures and have the data loaded into the model to develop measures for the upcoming year, using the updated, as much of the updated year of wave data as you can, and namely wave five being in particular the 2 months that have been open to cod, and due to the delays from the federal shutdown, those data normally would come out December 15th. They were delayed quite a bit longer, and there was a decision to move forward with using the previous year as a proxy. And then at a later time when the data became available to, you know, Science Center staff would evaluate whatever measures the advisors and committee had moved forward, and the council, kind of depending on the timing, to see if those mortality estimates were still in line. I think what we maybe hadn't fully grappled with is if they were vastly out of line, which is, as it turns out, to be the case. And so did take a look at how this previous, this most recent wave five effort in cod catch in 2025 compares to some of the recent years. So yes, as noted, it is really more that 2024 was much lower relative to other years. 2025, in terms of both angler trips and effort and cod catch overall, 2025, wave five does appear to be overall higher in cod catch. It's driven more by the discards than the harvest. So it is higher than going back to 2022 and 2023. But it's, that 2024 is just much, much lower. And some kind of different trends going on with haddock is the scene where we see the haddock with the updated wave five data decreasing quite a bit. So this is, as you might be familiar, usually where we would, in bringing some of this updated information, you would, in terms of trying to understand like the why, this is where I would be looking more for input from recreational advisors or recreational industry participants. But I think just from the data itself, the trips doubled, which seems to be contributing to a much higher cod catches. And that could be both some of the availability of cod and some of the angling behavior. So hopefully that helps a little bit to explain the situation we are in, a little bit of the context of where this most recent wave five kind of having more of an increasing trend is more indicative that 2024 was just confirming that that was an anomalously low year that we had.
Okay. Thank you for that reminder. It seems pretty big right now. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Odell. And sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off on your question. I'll go to Mr. Alexander.
Yeah, so quick question. I'll be brief. The 15 haddock limit, Does that bring us anywhere near the sub-ACL for those folks?
Ms. Fried?
No, and that's a good point to clarify. Pretty much all of the model runs you'll see, Haddock is kind of very, very much, much lower than the sub-ACL. It's when you start having the interactions with COD that's going to be more limiting.
So I'm in the camp that why are we limiting good fishermen that could actually catch that 15 haddock limit to 15? If we can up that if like what Mike said was he was selling, they're selling haddock trips. Why not give them some more haddock and encourage them to stay away from cod? So anyway, just don't think we should penalize everybody just because some people can't catch that 15 trip limit.
Thank you, Terry. Any further questions related to the presentation? Seeing none, so I'm going to turn to Mr. Pappalardo for the committee motion, but before he brings this up completely, I just want to outline the process. Obviously, what the committee's put before us is not working. So I would open up the discussion on the motion, but what I'm really looking for from the council is to actually vote this motion down, and then we will have to circle back up and come up with new measures. So I will turn to Mr. Pappalardo with his committee motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I believe staff has the committee motion. Put it on the board. So I move on behalf of the committee that the council recommends to GARFO for recreational measures. Western Gulf of Maine cod open season May 1 through 31 and September 1 through October 31. Minimum size 23 inches, possession limit of one fish per day. And for Gulf of Maine haddock, open season May 1 through February 28 or 9 and April 1 through 30. Minimum size 17 inches, possession limit 15 fish per day. Committee motion.
So that is committee motion, does not need a second. Is there any discussion? Well, I'm expecting a little discussion here on the motion on the board. I look to the council. Mr. Pierdnock.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What me and the public are struggling with is that there is a disconnect with the outcome with the recent waves, with the observations in the water. Now, if we take into consideration what took place last year, the bluefin tuna fishery closed recreationally in August. Nowadays, people are going after bluefin, and when they're not catching them, they go ground fishing, and they catch haddock, and if the cod is open, they catch them. The fact that that was closed, the fact that the recreational private modes typically take their boat out Labor Day, but there are a few out there. The fact that the weather in October and September is such that there's a few days that one could get on the water. The fact that the tackle shops had significant reductions in sales as a result of what happened. There's all these lines of evidence that few were on the water fishing. That's where I struggle and we're all and others struggle and are inconsistent with the discussion. Now, no doubt, if you fish in Massachusetts state waters, you see more fish. You've seen more since 2014. The conservation measures are working. But when we look at the catch, yes, the catch is going to increase as that has rebounded. But when we look at the recreational catch, which is resulting in 99% of the cod mortality and the for hire is 1%, we just don't believe the numbers. Now, I can't support this measure because of the changes, but I wanted that just to be there for the record because there's a lot of frustration by the public, including myself. And I understand that, yes, there was a government shutdown And as a result, this is delayed. And I commend the PDT and the department for what they've done to get this before us. But it's still, we're sitting here today trying to make decisions, and we don't have all the information in front of us and all the questions that we have in order to be comfortable with the outcome. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Pierdnak. Ms. O'Dell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So obviously, I'm not going to be supporting this motion. However, I did support it a week ago. And the reason being is because we have a healthy haddock population. We should be having opportunities for our recreational and for hire fishery to be able to target the haddock resource. As I think one of the RAP members said during the meeting last week is, you know, unfortunately, it's about, cod is preventing the ability of fishermen to target their haddock. It's the same situation in the commercial fishery at times as well. I also supported in this motion the opportunity for the open season in May, which was going to be pretty significant if it got approved even for this year, in light of some concerns about opening, allowing that one fish per day in the open season to be May 1st to 31st. But I did that because of my belief that we should be allowing the fisheries to be able to harvest their haddock ACLs and allocations. So I just feel that this is extremely unfortunate because where we're at today and then the new data that we received, because I think this was going to be a good option for the fishery in 2026. But thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Ms. O'Dell. I hear two oppositions to the motion on the board, although they weren't very straightforward. I'm looking for some really definite opposition to this, or if there's anyone in favor of these motions on the board, I would like to hear that. I'll go to Mr. Whalen. Could you put your hand back up, Peter? Sorry.
Yeah, I'm going to be voting against the motion that's up on the board, primarily for the reason that, all the new data that we got with the wave five, I thought when we looked at the data that the effort using 2024 was way off. I mean, the numbers that we were looking just didn't make sense to me. So I think we need to come up with a new plan here. And so I'll be voting against this. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Whalen. Mr. Smith.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll be brief. I'll also be voting against this motion for reasons that others have already raised. I won't repeat them, but I will just add that during the wrap in the committee meeting, I was also expressing concerns about the May opener. It looks like the May opener is no longer on the table, but last year I had concerns with an opening during cod spawning season. I continue to have those concerns today. Which is another reason I will be voting against the motion on the board. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Ms. Griffin.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. We can't pass this. It's a non-starter. I'd like to get to the motions to have a debate about what we can do. So I would ask that we move the question.
Thank you, Ms. Griffin. And I do concur here. Having heard any people for this motion, I'm looking for, is there anyone in favor of the motion on the board? Please raise your hand. Seeing none, I would like to say that this motion fails on consensus. Mr. Pentney, would you like to abstain?
Yes, please. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So this motion will fail on consensus with one abstention from the regional administrator. So now we now need to come back and come up with new measures for haddock and Gulf Maine cod. And I will kick it back to Mr. Pappalardo.
Well, Mr. Chairman, that was the extent of the committee's motions. I was going to make a motion for Gulf of Maine haddock. the same as the prior motion. However, I've heard enough from other council members that they want to see a different motion. So I would say you should go to the general council population and see if someone wants to do that.
Thank you, Mr. Papalardo. Looking to the council, what I would like to see is us try to tackle Gulf of Maine Haddock first, since, well, I thought that would be the easier one. But I put it to the council right now. Would anyone like to bring forth a motion for recreational measures for the Gulf of Maine Haddock in 2026? Mr. Alexander.
I will throw it up there. Gulf of Maine Haddock, same motion, except for 20 fish per day.
We'll get that up on the board in a moment. Before I get a second, hold on. So is that the motion you're looking for, Mr. Alexander?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm looking for a second. Is that you, Ms. Odell, with a second?
Yes, it is.
Okay, thank you. Questions, comments on the motion on the board? Mr. Pentney, first.
Yeah, thanks. Just as a question on this, just because ultimately whatever the council decides will come before us at the regional office and we'll have to evaluate it. Can staff, you know, kind of back the envelope, tell us what happens to the performance of, you know, say, so we have got option for COD, we have option one and option two, which, you know, gave us a 61 or a 55% probability of success, I'll call it. If we're increasing the possession limit for Haddock, I'm assuming that pushes those probabilities down because of increased fishing effort, that increased opportunities for bycatch of cod. So can staff kind of try to reframe that quantitatively or qualitatively, if I'm correct in my assumption?
Robin?
Yes, thanks, Regional Administrator. So just looking at some of the runs we've done, and we have a couple options that were run that you can make a comparison between the 15 fish haddock limit and that same minimum fish size, and then the 20 fish haddock limit with the cod season remaining as the status quo proposed. And there's really not, sorry, I'm losing track of which one I'm looking at. At least where we're projecting for cod mortality, the model is, this is not accounting for the, we don't have it accounted yet for the updated data, so we'd have to, because that has to be done kind of behind the scenes, but with the data we have available, it's just a 3 metric ton difference in mortality with a 3 metric ton increase with the higher haddock bag limit. So again, I think a lot of the influences based on the predicted trips they're going in has not predicting a lot of encounters of these higher levels of haddock and also the influence of the size distribution, but we will need to kind of confirm that with the updated MRIP data since that adjusts down for haddock and up for cod. And that's for the cod sub-ACL for haddock, it is, again, well under in either case.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so This is the best as Ms. Fried could answer. I believe Mr. Grant is trying to run those as we're debating this, so I don't want to make this go long, but maybe we could have an answer sooner rather than later on the legality of increasing the 20 fish, just to get a sense of where we're going. I will go to Mr. Pierdnock.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and Mr. Pentany and Ms. Fried's questions. I look to what that outcome is, because if it's 15, it's 15. If it's 20, certainly let's go for it. I mean, it's the numbers show that typically on most trips, it's about 10 fish being caught. So to increase it, I think, is going to be negligible. But it's a good shot in the arm for the private angler or the for hire that with such a bag limit, it's more promising. It'll put more people on the water. And then put that fish to use consistent with National Standard 1. So I'll support this in a sense. I'm waiting to hear the outcome of the run right now to see whether I will not support it, because naturally, if it doesn't survive, I won't. But that's my comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Pierdnock. Mr. Alexander, you had your hand up. Terry?
Yeah. I just wanted to say, you know, when people are catching a lot of haddock, they're not catching any cod. So, I just think, you know, when you're on the meat, and that would be the guys that would be on the meat that were catching these haddock, these 20 fish per angler. So they're not catching cod when they're catching fish like that. So thank you. When they catch cod is when they're struggling to find the haddock. So
thank you for that, Mr. Alexander. I'll go to Mr. Smith.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Chairman. I actually had a question for Mark, but it sounds like he might be busy doing other things. So maybe Robin can help me with it. I was just trying to recall back to the discussion at the committee and the RAP regarding the current 15 fish bag limit that we have right now and the degree to which that bag limit is or is not constraining the fishery. I think it was just mentioned that, on most trips, guys are catching 10 fish, which to me sounds like a pretty good day of haddock fishing to me. You know, certainly sounds like a good amount of fish, as does 15. So I was just curious if there could be any additional perspective shared on the degree to which the current 15 fish bag limit is constraining the fishery.
Ms. Fried?
Yes, thanks for the question. So that was some of the discussion the current bag limit has not been, is not constraining for the fishery. And I don't think there was any discussion at the committee or maybe at the RAP about the potential for increasing it. There were a couple of runs that folks looked at that increased the bag limit. And again, there's not a very large increase in catch predicted or, and then I think to mention one of the other metrics that's looked at is an output of angler satisfaction that also isn't showing much of a difference given there's, between those bag limits, there isn't a whole lot of predicted trips that would encounter that higher level. And I just got to update, our Science Center team is working on the updated mortality estimates as we speak.
Okay. Thank you for that, Robin. That was my recollection from the conversation previously, but I wanted to confirm it. I'm probably more inclined to stick with the 15 fish bag limit, but we'll wait to see what we hear from the folks at the Science Center before making a decision on the motion. Thank you.
Dr. O'Keefe?
Thank you. I just want to clarify, the activity that's happening behind the scenes right now is not going to be ready within the next few minutes to inform this decision this afternoon. So I think that the council needs to move forward with an understanding what came out of committee at the 15 fish per day and the rationale behind that, and whether or not there is a desire to move to 20 fish as a recommendation. The analysis would be completed following this meeting, and if it's within the legal boundaries combined with the COD measures, then that is something that the regional administrator can take up. If it is not, then the regional administrator can make a different recommendation on recreational measures. But I just want to caution, we're not going to get the answer to this question right now, moving forward on 20 fish per day for haddock and the impacts on cod. The analysis is taking longer than needed to hold up the meeting in this decision. Thanks.
Ms. Griffin.
Yeah, thank you for all that. As it stands now, because it's not the 15 fish bag limit is not limiting, And as Robin pointed out, I forget technically what it was called, but that choice survey that they did was showing, you know, cod was way more valued than haddock. And without any kind of information on whether this is legal, we're at even 3 metric tons of cod discards can be very consequential given where those runs are showing us for staying under the cod sub-ACL. So until we have that information, I couldn't support this. So that means for me, if we're not going to have that for today and the council needs to make a recommendation, I could not support this. I would support the 15 fish. I think that doesn't necessarily negate the 20 from being considered, obviously, in the federal rulemaking process. But in terms of the council's process, without that information on the legality of this, I just can't support it.
Further discussion on the motion on the board. Mr. Pierdnock.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted one more bite at the apple. Back when there was a 20 fish limit, there was a four higher split with a mode split. The four higher fleet got 20 and the private anglers got 15. And as a result, the next year there had to be a cut and it went down to 15. And if you recall, during that time, the select four higher operations were not happy with the reduction, but could live with 15 and would have preferred 20. This has to do with the goals and objectives of whether you're a six-pack vessel or party vessel and what your goals and objectives are and what kind of clientele you have and how much they're going to pay. Some are happy with 10, some are happy with 15, some are happy with 20 or 25. So I just want to make that clear to everyone that's different depending upon the operation and the goals and objectives. This is a meat for the table fishery. The more fish you can get, that's what they're looking for. Ultimately, though, they want cod, and that's why the bookings aren't there. And until we get nice fat cod, it's just not going to happen. So this would be to have 20 or more would be a good shot in the arm for the four higher fleet, as well as those private anglers that put food in the table. So if it survives the model run at 20, 25 or more, I would go with such. If it doesn't, then it doesn't. So I just wanted to add that because there's been a lot of discussion about where 20 was, and it seems to have been lost where that initially started and where we are today. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Pierdnock. Unfortunately, I don't think we're going to have the results for today's discussion. Obviously, these models do take a while to run. I would like to move forward. So obviously, if this motion moves forward to as a recommendation and it's deemed illegal based on it's going to put cod in the hole, obviously that's the agency will have to make a decision to go against what the recommendation is from the council. So what I'm going to do right now is call the question of to the motion on the board. I heard a little mixed feeling here, so what I'm going to go is with a roll call vote on the motion on the board. Dr. O'Keefe, when you are ready.
When I call your name, please say yes, no, or abstain to the motion on the board. Mr. Aristad.
Sorry, we're just getting this set up.
Mr. Aristad.
No.
Ms. Braun.
Yes.
Ms. O'Dell.
Yes.
Mr. Hansen.
Yes.
Mr. Lucy.
No.
Ms. Zobel. I see your hand up. Is that a voting yes?
Yep, I'm unmuted. Thanks. Now. Thank you. No.
Okay. Ms. Ware?
Yes.
Ms. Griffin?
No.
Mr. Olszewski?
No.
Mr. Pappalardo?
No.
Mr. Pierdnock?
Yes.
Mr. Pentney?
Dane.
Mr. Platts?
No.
Mr. Smith?
No.
Mr. D'Angelo?
Mr. D'Angelo? We'll come back to you, Andy. Mr. Whelan?
No.
Mr. Alexander?
Yes.
Mr. D'Angelo? Andy, if you can unmute yourself and give your vote on this motion, yes, no, or abstain. You're unmuted on our end, Mr. D'Angelo. If you can raise your hand if you'd like to vote in the positive, use the raised hand function, put your hand up if you'd like to say yes on this. Okay, we're going to have to move on. I'm sorry, Mr. D'Angelo, we'll put you down as an abstain. Motion fails, 6-9 with two abstentions.
Thank you for that, Dr. O'Keefe. Back to 2026 Gulf of Maine rec measures for Haddock. Any motions to put on the board? Ms. O'Dell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I'll make the same motion with 15 fish, possession limit of 15 fish per day.
Looking for a second. Mr. Alexander, are you seconding?
Yep.
Discussion on the motion? Jeff Smith.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I'll be brief. I'd like to speak in favor of the motion. This is what came out of the committee. I think it's an appropriate bag limit, and I'll be voting in favor of it.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Any further comments, Mr. Alexander?
No, that's left over to Ian, sorry.
Mr. Pierdnock.
Mr. Chairman, just a question. Will the public be provided the ability to comment on these measures?
Yes, after we have our discussion here. It was my oversight on the previous one, but they will have an opportunity on this one. Thank you. Do you have any further comments?
Thank you.
Seeing no other comments from the council, anyone in the public wish to speak to the motion on the board? Please raise your hand so we can get you unmuted. Oh, wait, we got one. Hold on. Mr. DePersia. You are on mute on your end, so if you can unmute yourself. There you go.
Okay. Yeah, my comment is going back to the 20 fish proposal that just came up. Yeah, I've been doing charters, groundfish charters for 60 years now. And, you know, this is just a perception thing to get charters. Very few people will catch 20 fish. But the perception is there that they might catch 20 fish. They're more likely to book a trip as opposed to 15 fish, let's say. So, you know, it's not that you're going to see a whole lot more fish being caught, but that's the perception that people will make the decision to book the trip. So, you know, that's my comment on in terms of the limit. Also, I wanted to make the comment that, you know, I don't believe any of this MRIP stuff. I cannot see how the trips doubled last year as opposed to 2024. You know, my customers don't even want to fish ground fish a lot in the fall. They're looking to go in the spring and in May and June as opposed to September and October. So we don't get a lot of bookings other than people that might go half tuna and half ground fish. So I, you know, and I've been a member of the RAP for 25 years now. And I, every year we go through the same thing with MRIP, that there's unbelievable situations here all the time and we've got to deal with it and it hurts us every year. So that's my comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. DePersia. And I once again will apologize for not calling on the public for the previous motion, but your comments were heard related to the 20 fish, but I think they still understand related to the motion on the board. Anyone on from the public that wants to comment further on the motion on the board? Mr. Hatch.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity to comment. All of this seems extremely rushed. You know, we went through our meeting and groundfish meeting last week with good information, and this has all been kind of sprung on us with not enough time to really think about it. As far as the Haddock motion goes, we're well below the ACL. I don't know why we wouldn't go for the 20 fish. I mean, Tom said it best, it's perception. You know, we're trying to sell trips in the charter industry. The 20 fish is going to help us, especially now that it looks like cod's getting taken away. Another comment I want to add is, with all due respect, I'm really having a hard time with this MRIP data. I've suffered in the sea bass fishery for years with the overestimation of MRIP. There's a reason they're recalibrating the MRIP data, because it's overestimated stuff. Last September and October, tuna fishing was closed. We had horrible weather. I got a hard time believing there were twice as many trips. And if there were twice as many trips, why did the haddock catch go down 50%? That would mean a quarter less haddock per trip. It's just kind of not believable. Mike brought up looking at the PSEs. I think you really got to take a long, hard look at them before you make a decision like this that's going to have a lot of impact on our lives in the for-hire industry. I hope you guys could revisit the 20 haddock, and I hope you would also think about codfish being open for us. Thanks.
Dr. O'Keefe.
Thank you. I just want to try to keep us on track. So the council just voted down a motion for 20 fish. So the motion on the board that we're taking comment on is 15 fish per day. I also want to note that 15 fish per day at 17 inches with an open season for everything except the month of March is what came out of the recreational advisory panel and the committee. This one is not being rushed. This is exactly what was put forward through the process last week. The change that we're looking at today, if we get to it, is information about cod. So if we could please keep public comments specific to the motion on the board, 20 fish per day has already been voted down. Thank you.
We'll go to Eric Morrow next.
Yes, how you doing? I know you just said we can't comment on the 20 fish, but we weren't allowed to comment on it. You forgot that part about the giving us that opportunity. Once again, for higher fleet here. Historically, that fishery, the cod and haddock fishery, traditionally, where people are used to drive 6, 7, 10, 12 hours away to come fish up here. Big shows like in Harrisburg, 10-day show, used to do it. People aren't going to, we're selling an experience. This once again, Willie brought it up, great points too, about, you know, with the sea bass, with the MRAP data, it's impossible to believe the data on MRAP for the fall. We had a horrible fall once again. And, you know, it's just bad data upon bad data here. We're not getting nowhere. And we didn't get the comment on the 20 fish. And now we're getting told, all right, be quiet. Let's just comment on this. It's very hard to digest year after year after year, where our client base is getting smaller and smaller. And we just watched these astronomical numbers about, we had a very horrible fall last year. And I run a 60-foot boat, and I sat at the dock. So please explain to me where that data came from, you know, saying that the catches were what they were. Sorry, I got to push the 20 fish because we have to sell the trips. We're selling an experience. You might get one or two guys, they'll get it. Most guys will have 10, 8, throw up over the side, have two. We still sold the trip. We still bring money into the state. And people, small businesses are still trying to thrive. And that's what I got to say.
Thank you. Up next is Jeff DePersia.
Hi, how you doing? I'm also disagreeing fully with the MRIP data. I haven't seen an observer in Green Harbor, Mass. In 2 to 3 years. And there's a lot of charters that go out of there. I run a lot of trips out of there, and it just doesn't seem to align with the other data showing. Said how could it be that far off? And I'd also like to comment that the cod don't only spawn in the spring. They spawn all year long. You know, sometimes when you're catching fish in the summer, you see them spawning. And then definitely I find that when I lobster, you'd be surprised. I have some days we have 200 or 300 cod in our traps that are coming up when the females have eggs and the males are spawning and milking. And I would like to see the option of also of 20 haddock and that's about it for now. So I fully disagree with the MRIP data, and I think we should look into the flaws that we've seen in the past and why these numbers are so drastically different. I'd like to thank you for your time, and we'll have a great day.
Thank you for your comments, Mr. DePersia. Seeing no other hands from the public, I'm coming back to the council for the motion on the board. Any further comments, questions to the motion on the board? If not, I would like to call the question. Is there anyone opposed to the motion on the board? Please raise your hand. Would anyone like to abstain from the motion on the board? Mr. Penny, are you abstaining?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Thank you. The motion will pass on consensus with one abstention from the RA. Mr. Pappalardo.
I don't have any further motions, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, I will go to the rest of the council. We now are still looking at Gulf of Maine cod recreational measures for 2026. Is there a motion to put before us? Mr. Pierdnock.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I believe the motion's being put up. I appreciate the opportunity. Public appreciates the opportunity. Many have reached out to me and very frustrated, so I'm happy to make this motion. Do you need me to read it?
Please do.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Western Gulf of Maine cod, option one in staff memo, four higher open season, September 1st to October 31st. Minimum size, 23 inches. Possession limit, one fish per person per day. Private mode closed year round. The rationale, the four
Mr. Pinnock, before you get a rationale, I need a second.
Looking for a second to
the motion. Ms. O'Dell. Are you seconding the motion?
I am. Thank you.
Thank you. With your rationale, Mr. Pierdnock?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The four-hour option one, 61% of the time is below the ACL that is above the threshold of 50%. Option two, that includes both the private and four-hour modes, 55% of the time is below the ACL, that when including a private mode increases the chances of exceeding the ACL by 6%. The private mode results in 99% of the cod mortality in fiscal year 2025 perennial weighs. The four higher mode is resulting in 1% of the cod mortality. Northeast multi-species permitted vessels are required to complete EBTR submitted to GARFO within 48 hours associated with each trip that provides data associated with fish caught and released, location, duration, etc. Northeast multi-species permitted for hire vessels that remain in the groundfish fishery participate in recreational biological sampling project collecting length and DNA samples of cod caught and released. The data collection and science by the for-hire fleet assists in the management of the stock and use of the data for fishery management purposes. It provides additional lines of evidence consistent with the MSA National Standard 2, utilizing the best scientific information. Recreational private modes are not subject to mandatory reporting, and if a dockside intercept is conducted, that catch is assumed to take place at the location of the intercept and not at the location of harvest. This has led to issues with the new Ford Cod stock management structure. Paren example, area 521 and 526. See the October 17th, that should be 2024 letter from Northeast Fishery, New England Fishery Management Council to the ACCSP. This proposed measure provides the ability to generate data for use for stock management purposes consistent with National Standard 2. The FES results are pending that will make adjustments primarily to the private mode effort of mortality that should further reduce past ACL exceedances. So in conclusion, ultimately, this approach is to generate data with mandatory reporting and supporting science to manage the stock. If the status of the cod stock was not in the state it is in, I would recommend that both modes be provided access to the fishery. But with no mandatory private mode reporting and issues with private mode dockside intercepts, such is not recommended. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Piernock. Anything to add, Ms. O'Dell?
So I have a question for the maker of the motion quickly. I see that the motion is for September 1st to October 31st. We are not considering the month of May. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. So Mr. Piernock said his rationales very lengthy and fantastic for this motion. I would add, I would emphasize the mandatory reporting and the data that is intended to be collected for, improvements in our stock assessments that's really critical. I do find it unfortunate that we're at this point because I have serious reservations with the MRIP data from 2025. But I support this moving forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. O'Dell. To the motion on the board from the council, any comments, questions, discussion? Ms. Ware.
Just to keep it moving, I'd like to move to amend it's going to be for the other option that was on the table. The 23 inches, one bag for a month of October, private and for hire.
We're going to bring that up. Just bear us a moment while we get the motion up on the board. Thank you. Is this what you have in mind, Ms. Blair?
It is, yes. Thank you.
If you could read the motion into the record, please.
Yep, I move that the council recommend to Garfo, or it's a move to amend that the council recommend to Garfo the following recreational measures for fishing year 2026. Western Gulf of Maine Cod, option one in staff memo, all modes, open season, October 1 through October 31, minimum size 23 inches, possession limit one fish per person per day.
Looking for a second. Is that you, Mr. Smith?
That is me, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Discussion on the motion to amend. Ms. Ware, your hand's back up.
Yeah, could I provide some rationale?
Oh, sorry. Yes.
That's okay. It's all good. Yeah, I mean, obviously this is picking from two not ideal options here, but I do feel like this is the most equitable moving forward. I'm pretty uncomfortable making this basically a only for hire fishery. I think there's some perverse incentives that come along with that. And I feel particularly uncomfortable doing that when we're getting data and information last minute, and we really haven't had a thorough public comment process about such a massive change. Obviously October 1 to October 31 is not what I would like representing Maine, but I do think it's the most equitable among the modes. Just got a lot bigger there. But I think this is what I would prefer to do given the situation we're in. Thanks.
Thank you, Ms. Ware. Anything to follow up, Mr. Smith?
Yeah, just very quickly, Mr. Chairman. I share Ms. Ware's perspectives on this. I think that it is fairer and more equitable to allow both private recreational anglers as well as for-hire anglers to have an opportunity to catch one fish during the season. The season is short. None of us likes where we're at with this, but I do think it's appropriate to give the private recreational angler an opportunity. And I also want to say out loud, I appreciate Mr. Peardnock's comments regarding the work that the for-hire fleet has done with the Rec Bio Project and the important information that they are bringing to the table. My organization has helped to fund that project. I think it's very important. And from my perspective, this motion on the board gives the for-hire fleet the opportunity to continue to participate and provide information in the month of October, while also giving private recreational anglers an opportunity to catch a cod that month. So that's why I'm supporting the motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. To the question on the board, Mr. Whalen.
Yeah, I'm going to support Megan Ware's motion. I think it's important that we allow the private anglers, especially in northern New England, to be able to take one cod. I think I've never been in favor of mode splits, even though I'm a charter guy. I just think it creates a lot of animosity, and it's just not fair to everyone who participates in this fishery. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Whalen. Ms. Griffin.
Thank you, Chair. Very similar comments to the last few speakers. Definitely appreciate the work that the for-hire fishery is doing to provide robust information, but I'm really looking at this decision through the lens of public resource management. And, you know, it's no surprise the Commonwealth of Mass hasn't supported split modes. You know, most recently, the New England states actually submitted a letter to the MID opposing that split mode in Atlantic mackerel. And that ultimately wasn't successful, but I see that as very fundamentally different in the outcomes. You know, that case resulted in both modes still retaining access, and this split mode would result in a complete shutout of the private angler for a public resource, and I just can't support that. You know, in the past, if folks recall back in 2018, right, the Commonwealth had a one cod fishery for private anglers because it recognized that that disconnect of still having a commercial fishery and closing a public recreational fishery. So, and I also agree with Ms. Ware that I'd be very uncomfortable going forward with a closed season without some kind of supplementary public process, given how this is all unfolded. So to be clear, I support the amendment for the October season of one cod at 23 inches across the board for the recreational modes.
Thank you, Ms. Griffin. Mr. Pentney.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Chairman. I mean, I'm going to abstain on the motion regardless, and certainly we will fully evaluate and consider whatever the council ultimately recommends. But I guess just 2 points on the discussion. I think, well, first of all, I think this is more appropriately a motion to substitute since it's selecting a different option than the original motion versus making a slight change to the original motion. But second, just on kind of the conversation about equity, you know, the original motion provides a 2-month season for people to go catch cod. It doesn't matter whether you have your own boat, you can still go out on a for hire vessel during those 2 months under option one. So it's not, I don't see it as an equity issue where people who identify as private anglers are prohibited from fishing. They're just, you know, would go out and take advantage of the opportunities that the for hire fleet provides as they do with everyone else who doesn't have their own vessel. But you know, so I just felt like I had to make that comment just because there's this presumption that, you know, option one prevents a class of people from fishing for cod. And I just don't believe that's true.
Thank you, Mr. Pentney. Quick, before I go to the other hands raised, Ms. Ware, would you mind if we change your motion to amend to a motion to substitute?
No, I agree with Mike. It is a substitute.
Okay. Mr. Smith, you okay with that? Jeff?
Yeah, I am. Sorry, I didn't come off of mute there. Yes, I am okay with changing the motion to substitute.
Thank you. I'll go back to the roll call here. Mrs. Obell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Melanie basically took the words right out of my mouth, so I'm not going to repeat, just to say that I support the motion for a number of the reasons that have already been stated. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Obell. Mr. Pierdnock.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm just concerned because the private mode does not have mandatory reporting. They have dockside intercepts with imprecise details concerning where they caught the fish, and that to take this forward with this approach, I'm worried that next year we're going to have the same discussion where right now we have 99% of the cod mortality from the private mode versus 1% from the for hire mode. Good points made about lack of equity. The for hire fleet is the bus that provides the recreational anglers access to the fishery. Shoreside anglers typically don't get access to the cod. If they can't afford a private vessel to own it themselves, they go to the six pack vessel or the party boat vessel. That's the mechanism for them to do that. That helps provide the equity. So ultimately, I will only support this if the initial motion that I proposed failed, but I still feel strongly about the rationale behind why I would support option one over option two. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Pierdnock. Going to the public on the motion on the board, Mr. Santini. We have you muted on your end. I believe the unmute button is in the lower left-hand corner of your computer, if you're on the computer. We'll come back to you, Mr. Santini, if you can get this figured out. Mr. Wayne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mike Wayne with the American Sport Fishing Association. I won't repeat some of the support that we already heard from council members on this motion, but on process alone, you know, I just joined the recreational advisory panel for groundfish, and split modes did not get discussed at all during the RAP meeting. I think there should be opportunity for the entire, all the stakeholders to provide input on something like this before the council makes such a consequential decision. And I'm kind of disappointed that some of the folks that are supporting the underlying motion didn't do some of that outreach ahead of this meeting if they really wanted to get this motion passed. So for that reason, I support the motion to substitute. Thank you for the chance to comment.
Thank you, Mr. Wayne. Mr. Santini, I'll give you another crack if you are still there. Unfortunately, I do not see you. So back to the council to the motion on the board to substitute. Any further discussion? I will call a roll call on this as this is a motion to substitute and we've had some interesting discussion. So I will give it over to Dr. O'Keefe to go through the roll call.
Thank you. Please say yes, no, or abstain to the motion on the screen. Mr. Alexander?
No.
Mr. Whelan?
Kate, I was a no.
I got you, Terry.
Okay.
Mr. Thanks. Whelan?
Yes.
Mr. D'Angelo? Mr. Smith?
I'm sorry. Mr. D'Angelo sent me a text. He's a yes on this.
Thank you. Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Platts?
No.
Mr. Pentney?
Unreal.
Could you repeat that, Mr. Pentney?
Abstain.
Thank you. Mr. Pierdnock?
No.
Mr. Pappalardo?
Yes.
Mr. Olszewski?
Yes.
Ms. Griffin?
Yes.
Ms. Ware?
Yes.
Ms. Dobell?
Yes.
Mr. Lucy?
Yes.
Mr. Hansen?
Yes.
Ms. Odell?
No.
Ms. Braun?
Yes.
Mr. Aristad?
Yes.
Motion passes 12-4 with one abstention.
Thank you, Dr. O'Keefe. Because this was a motion to substitute, these will be our Gulf of Maine rec measures for Gulf of Maine COD. Back to you, Mr. Pappalardo.
That's all I had, Mr. Chairman. I don't know if Robin or Mark have anything further.
I'll come back to you. Mr. Attorney McDonald, am I correct in saying because this was a motion to substitute, we do not have to go back because this is the motion and not an amended motion? I see you unmuted. I don't know if you can do it or if Mr. Skakowski could answer to that.
Is Attorney McDonald, Sikowski, or Regional Administrator Pentney able to answer the question? Are we completed with this motion based because it was a motion to substitute?
It's the motion to substitute passed, so now it is the main motion. So you just need to vote on it as the main motion.
Okay, sorry for that faux pas there. So the motion that was just passed as a substitute, this is now the main motion. Are there any opposition to the main motion now? If there is, raise your hand, please. Any abstentions? Mr. Pentney is abstaining. So the main motion will now pass as consensus with one abstention from the regional administrator. I assume you still have nothing else, Mr. Pappalardo. I will turn to the staff to see if they have anything additional. Nope, seeing nothing there, I will call